2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennium. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
A.E. Van Vogt, one of the great world creators of science fiction, from 1939 with his short story Black Destroyer that formed the basis for the film Alien, to the most memorable novel of mutants ever written, the incomparable Slan, till his recent death just as the year 2000 dawned. Van was one of the five great pillars of golden age science fiction, along with Bob Heinlein and Isaac Asimov, L. Ron Hubbard and Fritz Leiber. And our initial offering this time is a mordant bit of intergalactic whimsy, theme for these dawning days of the demon internet, and A.E. Van Vogt called it Dear Pen Pal.
You've got mail.
Planet Arije 2. Dear Pen Pal, when I first received your letter from the Interstellar Correspondence Club, my impulse was to ignore it. The mood of one who has spent the last 70 planetary periods, years I suppose you would call them, in an Arigian prison does not make for a pleasant exchange of letters. However, life is very boring, and so I finally settled myself to the task of writing you. Your description of Earth sounds exciting. I would like to live there for a while, and I have a suggestion in this connection, but I won't mention it till I have developed it further. You will notice the material on which this letter is written. It is a highly sensitive metal, very thin, very flexible, and I have enclosed several sheets of it for your use. Tungsten, dipped in any strong acid, makes an excellent mark on it. It is important to me that you do write on it, as my fingers are too hot, literally, to hold your paper without damaging it. I'll say no more just now. It is possible you will not care to correspond with a convicted criminal, and therefore I shall leave the next move up to you. Thank you for your letter. Though you did not know its destination, it brought a moment of cheer into my drab life. Skander.
You've got mail.
Arigi 2. Dear Pen Pal, your prompt reply to my letter made me happy. I am sorry your doctor thought it excited you too much, and sorry also if I have described my predicament in such a way as to make you feel badly. I welcome your many questions, and I shall try to answer them all. You say the Interstellar Correspondence Club has no record of having sent any letters to Arigi. That according to them, the temperature of the second planet of the Arigi sun is more than 500 degrees Fahrenheit, and that life is not known to exist there. Your club is right about the temperature and the letters. We have what your people would call a hot climate. But then we are not a hydrocarbon form of life and find 500 degrees very pleasant. I must apologize for deceiving you about the way your first letter was sent to me. I didn't want to frighten you away by telling you too much at once. After all, I could not be expected to know that you would be enthusiastic to hear from me. The truth is that I am a scientist, and along with the other members of my race, I have known for some centuries that there were other inhabited systems in the galaxy. Since I am allowed to experiment in my spare hours, I amused myself in attempts at communication. I have developed several simple systems for breaking in on galactic communication operations, but it was not until I developed a subspace wave control that I was able to draw your letter, along with several others which I did not answer, into a cold chamber. I used the cold chamber as both sending and receiving center, and since you were kind enough to use the material which I sent you, it was easy for me to locate your second letter among the mass of mail that accumulated at the nearest headquarters of the Interstellar Correspondence Club. How did I learn your language? After all, it is a simple one. Particularly, the written language seems easy. I had no difficulty with it. If you are still interested in writing me, I shall be happy to continue the correspondence. Skander.
You've got mail.
Arigi 2. Dear Pen Pal, your enthusiasm is refreshing. You say that I failed to answer your questions about how I expected to visit Earth. I confess I deliberately ignored the question, as my experiment has not yet proceeded far enough. I want you to bear with me a short time longer, and then I will be able to give you the details. You are right in saying that it would be difficult for a being who lives at a temperature of 500 degrees Fahrenheit to mingle freely with the people of Earth. This was never my intention, so please relieve your mind. However, let us drop that subject for the time being. I appreciate the delicate way in which you approach the subject of my imprisonment. But it is quite unnecessary. I performed forbidden experiments upon my body in a way that was deemed to be dangerous to the public welfare. For instance, among other things, I once lowered my surface temperature to 150 degrees Fahrenheit, and so shortened the radioactive cycle time of my surroundings. This caused an unexpected break in the normal person-to-person energy flow in the city where I lived, and so charges were laid against me. I have 30 more years to serve. It would be pleasant to leave my body behind and tour the universe, but as I said, I'll discuss that later. I wouldn't say that we're a superior race. We have certain qualities which apparently your people do not have. We live longer, not because of any discoveries we've made about ourselves, but because our bodies are built of a more enduring element. I don't know your name for it, but the atomic weight is 52.9. Our scientific discoveries are of a kind that would normally be made by a race with our kind of physical structure. The fact that we can work with temperatures of as high as, I don't know just how to put that, has been very helpful in the development of the subspace energies, which are extremely hot and require delicate adjustments. In the later stages, these adjustments can be made by machinery. But in the development, the work must be done by hand. I put the word in quotes because we have no hands in the same way that you have. I am enclosing a photographic plate, properly cooled and chemicalized for your climate. I wonder if you would set it up and take a picture of yourself. All you have to do is arrange it properly on the basis of the laws of light. That is, light travels in straight lines. So stand in front of it, and when you are ready, think, ready. The picture will be automatically taken. Would you do this for me? If you are interested, I will also send you a picture of myself, though I must warn you, my appearance will probably shock you. Sincerely, Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, just a brief note in answer to your question. It is not necessary to put the plate into a camera. You describe this as a dark box. The plate will take the picture when you think ready. I assure you, it will be flooded with light. Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, you say that while you were waiting for the answer to my last letter, you showed the photographic plate to one of the doctors at the hospital. I cannot picture what you mean by doctor or hospital, but let that pass. And he took the problem up with government authorities. Problem? I don't understand. I thought we were having a pleasant correspondence, private and personal. I shall certainly appreciate your sending that picture of yourself. Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, I assure you I am not annoyed at your action. It really puzzled me, and I am sorry the plate has not been returned to you. Knowing what governments are, I can imagine that it will not be returned to you for some time. So I am taking the liberty of enclosing another plate. I cannot imagine why you should have been warned against continuing this correspondence. What do they expect me to do? Eat you up at long distance? I'm sorry, but I don't like hydrogen in my diet. In any event, I would like your picture as a memento of our friendship, and I will send mine as soon as I have received yours. You may keep it or throw it away or give it to your governmental authorities, but at least I will have the knowledge that I have given a fair exchange. With all best wishes, Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, your last letter was so slow in coming that I thought you had decided to break off the correspondence. I was sorry to notice that you failed to enclose the photograph, puzzled by your reference to having a relapse, and cheered by your statement that you would send it along as soon as you felt better, whatever that means. However, the important thing is that you did write, and I respect the philosophy of your club, which asks its members not to write of pessimistic matters. We all have our own problems which we regard as overshadowing the problems of others. Here I am, in prison, doomed to spend the next 30 years tucked away from the mainstream of life. Even the thought is hard on my restless spirit, though I know I have a long life ahead of me after my release. In spite of your friendly letter, I won't feel that you have completely re-established contact with me until you send the photograph. Yours in expectation, Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, the photograph arrived. As you suggest, your appearance startled me. From your description, I thought I had mentally reconstructed your body, It just goes to show that words cannot really describe an object which has never been seen. You'll notice that I've enclosed a photograph of myself, as I promised I would. Chunky, metallic-looking chap, am I not? Very different, I'll wager, than you expected. The various races with whom we have communicated become wary of us when they discover we are highly radioactive, and that literally we are a radioactive form of life, the only such that we know of in the universe. It's been very trying to be so isolated. And as you know, I have occasionally mentioned that I had hopes of escaping not only the deadly imprisonment to which I am being subjected, but also the body, which cannot escape. Perhaps you'll be interested in hearing how far this idea has developed. The problem involved is one of exchange of personalities with someone else. Actually, it is not really an exchange in the accepted meaning of the word. It is necessary to get an impression of both individuals, of their mind and of their thoughts, as well as their bodies. Since this phase is purely mechanical, it is simply a matter of taking complete photographs and of exchanging them. By complete, I mean, of course, every vibration must be registered. The next step is to make sure the two photographs are exchanged. That is, that each party has somewhere near him a complete photograph of the other. It is already too late, pen pal. I have set in motion the subspace energy interflow between the two plates, so you might as well read on. As I have said, it is not exactly an exchange of personalities. The original personality in each individual is suppressed, literally pushed back out of consciousness, and the image personality from the photographic plate replaces it. You will take with you a complete memory of your life on Earth, and I will take along memory of my life on Origi. Simultaneously, the memory of the receiving body will be blurrily at our disposal. A part of us will always be pushing up, striving to regain consciousness, but always lacking the strength to succeed. As soon as I grow tired of Earth, I will exchange bodies in the same way with a member of some other race. 30 years hence, I will be happy to reclaim my body, and you can then have whatever body I last happen to occupy. This should be a very happy arrangement for us both. You, with your short life expectancy, will have outlived all your contemporaries and will have an interesting experience. I admit I expect to have the better of the exchange. But now enough of explanation. By the time you reach this part of the letter, it will be me reading it, not you. But if any part of you is still aware, so long for now, pen pal. It's been nice having all those letters from you. I shall write you from time to time to let you know how things are going with my tour. Scander.
You've got mail.
Origi 2. Dear pen pal, thanks a lot for forcing the issue. For a long time, I hesitated about letting you play such a trick on yourself. You see, the government scientists analyzed the nature of that first photographic plate you sent me, and so the final decision was really up to me. I decided that anyone as eager as you were to put one over should be allowed to succeed. Now I know I don't have to feel sorry for you. Your plan to conquer Earth wouldn't have got anywhere, but the fact that you had the idea ends the need for sympathy. By this time, you will have realized for yourself that a man who has been paralyzed since birth and is subject to heart attacks cannot expect a long lifespan. I am happy to tell you that your once lonely pen pal is enjoying himself, and I am happy to sign myself with a name to which I expect to become accustomed. With best regards, Scander.
Now, wasn't that a nasty bit of flummery? You've been listening to Charles Durning performing the monologue Dear Pen Pal by A.E. Van Vogt. Craig Sandler was the recordist and Jamie Cerniglia was the mixer. Something of a warning to all you amoral, mean-spirited hackers out there who think duplicity on the web is clever. You never know when the biter gets himself bit. Now, moving right along, our second presentation is an adaptation of As Easy as ABC by Nobel laureate Rudyard Kipling. Now, I know it may come as a frisson of startlement that the man who is best known for having written The Jungle Books and Kim and The Man Who Would Be King is included here in the pantheon of phantasmagoric fabulators. Van Vogt, yes, of course. Bradbury and Henry Kuttner and Connie Willow, to be sure. But Kipling?
Do you like Kipling? I don't know. I've never kippled. Well, my uninformed mud flies. Kipling wrote science fiction, fantasy, horror, as well as the stories about the British Raj in India. In fact, our tale, As Easy as ABC, is a sequel to his most famous science fiction story, though the term science fiction didn't even exist at that time, which was 1912. This is a sequel to With the Night Mail, which was subtitled A Story of 2000 AD, which if you look at your calendar, well, anyhow, the ABC of the title is the Aerial Board of Control that dominates this world Kipling created. You'll enjoy the society of dirigibles and big brother-like authority. Rudyard had a good eye for the future, as you'll perceive. Rudyard Kipling's As Easy as ABC.
Your trousers, Commissioner de Forest.
Oh, leave it so soon, Commissioner.
I'm afraid so, Vincent.
But you've not sampled our Vestal Virgin Court, dear man, or our Roman Balls, our Demi Monsalon, or authentic 5th century Japanese tea house, our television theater.
The braces, sir.
Nothing amiss, are you?
No, everything's perfectly satisfactory here, Vincent.
Your boots.
We aims to please, dear man. We strives to make Babylon Village the choicest erotic theme park in all London. And, of course, the world.
All of your amusement establishments are very diverting, Vincent.
Your hairpiece, Commissioner de Forest.
Geraldstein cannot hold a candle to old Leopold Vincent Limited of Earl's Court. Ain't that right?
Yeah, indubitably.
Air grip, sir.
Storybook Park, Family World, Dickens's Mansion, the Trembling Hot Air Balloon Museum, Buffalo Bill Village, Dollywood 2, Cromwell Land, Buckingham Palace.
Come.
Well, I can't chat, there's some duty calls.
Oh, yes. The duties of the Aerial Board of Control. The good old ABC, quite demanding, I'm sure.
You're both the commissioner.
Still, it's a shame to waste all this variety on a quick in and outer. You shall have to return for a longer visit, dear man, on the house.
Your bandolier.
That's quite generous of you, Vincent.
Think nothing of it, Commissioner. The ABC has always been very generous to me.
Your gauntlets.
You mean we turn a blind eye to your various and sometimes questionable enterprises?
Shall I zip for you, Commissioner?
Oh, most of me establishments cater to families, they do. Quite clean and above board, I assure you.
Most, Vincent, as you say.
And pin on your medals.
But not all.
Well, Leopold Vincent does try to cater to every taste.
The ABC have bigger fish to fry, Vincent. The blue one goes on the left, young lady. As long as you cause no crowds and no violent disruption of the social order.
And allow you unlimited free access.
Inspections, Vincent. These are surprise inspections. All in the line of duty, you understand.
Oh, quite so, dear man.
Your Viagra, Commissioner.
The same duty that now carries me away to a stinking backwater where I'm obliged to quell some trifling disturbance among the Aborigines.
The natives are restless, are they?
Does the ABC armband go on the left or the right arm, Commissioner?
The right, young lady. Vincent, I find it curious that you are so curious.
Well, people ain't much inquisitive nowadays, and that's a fact. But old Leopold Vincent always got his ear cocked, he does. It's me business. I hope you ain't in the way of any danger, Commissioner de Forest.
Well, we shall see what we shall see, Vincent. No telling what these primitives will do.
Sounds terrible rum to me, sir, if I may say so. You'll mind me asking to which barbarous outback you is going?
Perhaps the most savage hellhole on earth, Vincent.
Oh, no.
You mean?
That's right. Chicago.
Welcome, gentlemen, to my new aeroship. Ah, the noted inventor, humanitarian, and bon vivant Victor Prolo, I presume.
At your service, Commissioner de Forest. How good to see you again.
Prolo, this is Arnott of the ABC, commander of the fleet.
An honor.
I say, this airship of yours is beautifully appointed.
It's state of the art, Commander Arnott.
Yes, it's positively luxurious, Pirot, old boy. It's like the sitting room of my club in Pall Mall.
Where must the call of duty be incommodious, I ask?
Why, indeed. The crimson flocking on the walls adds a certain...
A little touch of Il Bordello Italiano to remind me of home.
I presume you have cigars and sherry commensurate with these furnishings, Signor Parola?
Most assuredly, Commander Arnott.
Well, then do break them out like a good chap, what?
Gentlemen, I suggest we wait.
Wait?
Whatever for? Good God, man, it's tea time.
True, but we are about to take off.
The embarkation on this aeroship is a wee tad abrupt, don't you find?
I thought we were in a hurry, no?
Never mind, sir. We're aloft and on our way, that's what counts.
You're a busby, Commissioner.
Thank you. Now, about those cigars and sherry.
Right away.
How fast would you say we're going, Prolo?
Oh, 300 or maybe 400 kilometers per hour.
I don't understand the rush, sir. I mean, it is of no importance whether Northern Illinois stay in or out of Planetary Circuit, is it?
None whatsoever, number one. However, any complaint of invasion of privacy needs immediate investigation, lest worse follow.
Quite so.
The board has empowered us to take such steps as might be necessary for the resumption of traffic and all that that implies. All that that implies, gentlemen.
What are we to infer from that implication?
Well, might you ask?
I did ask.
So you did, Pirolo, and you shall be answered. At 09:30 this morning, ABC received communication from the mayor of Chicago complaining of crowd-making and invasion of privacy. Seems that the entire district of Northern Illinois has riotously cut itself out of all systems and would remain disconnected till the board take over and administer it direct.
Take over? What abominable cheek. As if we haven't enough on hands. Well, we shan't let them get it over on the ABC. In fact, I'm a bit grateful to them in a way. We've never had a chance of exercising all the fleet together. I've turned in a general call, and I fancy we'll have it at least 200 keels aloft before the evening.
Well, aloft, number one?
Of course, sir. Out of sight, high in the ether, till they're called for.
Excuse me, I know nothing of this Illinois.
Well, there's nothing much to tell, actually. Now, here it is at the foot of Lake Michigan, on a road to nowhere in particular. Except in one corner, it's as flat as a Canadian pancake.
I believe they call them flapjacks up there, sir.
That's an excellent point, number one, but I regret to say totally irrelevant to the matter at hand.
Sorry, sir.
Never be sorry, number one, especially in front of the savages, present company excepted, of course. They take it as weakness. The board cannot be perceived as weak. Now, what was I saying?
About pancakes, Commissioner. Technically, pancakes, sir. Illinois is not in Canada.
It's near Canada, old chap.
See, Commander Arnott, that I grant to you, but near is not in.
Be that as it may, old boy, the commissioner specifically stipulated the Canadian species of fried batter.
We're dealing with flatness here, gentlemen, not breakfast. Illinois is flat, boringly flat. Like most flat countries nowadays, it's heavily guarded against invasion of privacy by forced timber. 50-foot spruce and tamarack. Population's close to 2 million, I'd say, mostly living on small farms. The farmers come into Chicago for amusements and society during the winter. They're normally docile and quiet, though a little exacting, as all flat countries must be in their notions of privacy. For instance, there hasn't been news published or broadcast in Illinois for 27 years. Chicago argues that engines for news sooner or later develop into engines for invasion of privacy, which in turn might bring the old terror of crowds and corruption and epidemic back to the planet.
Ah, the planet. She has had her dose of popular government. She suffers from inherited agoraphobia. She has no use for crowds. That is why the population of the world, she's shrinking, shrinking, shrinking.
And a good thing, too, since the average man now lives a century on the average.
No more crowds, no more plague, no more war.
Hear, hear!
Problem is that Chicago contains a certain reactionary element that insists upon a return to the old malignant days of democratic process.
You don't say so.
I believe I just did, old boy. So critical has the situation become that the mayor was finally driven to call and demand the ABC seize permanent control.
Good God, does he think governors grow on trees?
Once upon a time, they crawled out of the woodwork, Commander Arnott.
And to enforce his demand, the mayor has pulled Illinois out of the globality until such time as we take action.
Blackmail, I call it. Blackmail, pure and simple. We're not going to stand for it, are we? The fleet are prepared to give those Hoosiers a firm rap on the knuckle.
Your geo-ethnic nomenclature wants a slight adjustment, Number One. The Hoosiers are an entirely different, even more primitive race, inhabiting the adjacent territory of Indiana. People of Illinois are properly called Illini, and because Chicago, where once wild onions abounded, derives its name from an Indian word meaning place of the bad smell, the citizens of that village have long been known as stinkers.
You continually amaze me, Commander, with your encyclopedic knowledge. Is there no corner of this planet that has escaped your eye?
It is my duty to know these things. The Great Lakes peoples all have such sobriquets. Illinois Illini, Wisconsin Whiskers, Michigan Michiganers.
Well, we shall put these sinkers in their place.
No, Commander. We must first try to understand and to apply the gentle arts of persuasion, reason, and duplicity.
And if those methods fail?
Oh, then of course we kick them on the arse. Has answered our radio call. Perhaps the place is uninhabited.
There's a light on in that farmhouse ahead.
What do you suppose that sound is?
Wild game. Moose or elk, I fancy. They love to hunt in northern Illinois.
I can make someone out on the porch of that farmhouse.
What was that? I can't move my legs.
And neither can I, dash it.
Pissed. We are ground circuited, and it is my own Patterson system of ground circuits, too. I know the pool.
Evening. Sorry about the circuits. We locked up for the day. Just a minute.
I'm free.
Come on in and set a spell. Pop's gone off to Chicago.
Farmer's daughter, yes.
Are you a salesman? Wait. That uniform, that Busby. You're ABC, ain't you? It was your call I heard just now.
I said, ouch! Stuck again.
We only want to know what's the matter with Illinois.
Oughtn't you to go to Chicago and find out? Ain't nothing wrong here. We own ourselves.
How can we go anywhere if you won't let us loose?
Oh, you guys should see how funny you look.
I've had about enough of this. Commander to Fleet Leader, a single fuse ground circuit here. Sort it out gently, please.
Good shot, Commander Arnott. The ground circuit is broken.
Oh, that was gold dang rude.
Sorry. But we haven't time to look funny. We've got to go to Chicago. And if I were you, young lady, I'd go into the cellars for the next 2 hours and take Mother with me.
Darn your hat.
He's coming at it with a cultivator.
Run!
In a moment, Beyond 2000 will return with Rudyard Kipling's As Easy as ABC. And this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Over the years, many people came to Arizona to seek their fortunes, to find their freedom, or in the case of Randy Johnson, to pick up $52 million. In the case of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we came because, well, have you ever been to Chicago in late November? I'm Peter Sagal. Join us this week as we come to you from in front of a live audience in Tempe, Arizona. Remember, it's a dry humor on this week's News Quiz from National Public Radio.
And now, the conclusion of As Easy as ABC.
There's my sweet kitten for you. We ask her a simple question, she transforms down in the cultivator.
I want to smack her face. My fine new airship has been chased by a dirty plow. Agricultural implement.
Well, that's Illinois all over. They don't content themselves with talking about privacy. They arrange to have it. Now, where's your alleged fleet, Number One? We must assert ourselves against this wench.
Waiting up. Father, shall I give them the whole installation, sir?
I don't think the young lady's quite worth that. Get over Chicago. We shall see what we shall see.
The ship, she's over the village now.
Oh, dear.
Do give us a warning next time, Perrault, old man.
Excuse. Sir, come over here to the window. I think I can make out the old city hall.
You're right, number one.
What is that rusty statue? It looks vaguely like a one-eyed bird.
It's a totem of an ancient tribe called the Picasso, or as the explorer Joliet called them, the Picasso.
The place is lit up. There's activity.
What on earth are they doing to the place? I thought they used it as a market these days. Drop a little, please.
Okay, doctor. They're doing construction down there.
Well, there's nothing to prevent Illinois from making a road through a market. It doesn't interfere with traffic that I can see.
Or all that that implies. Hush! Listen. They're singing. Why on earth are they singing?
Take us down a little lower, Perrault. Gently, please. Don't like the sound of that.
A McDonald's song. She is forbidden, no?
They've broken back to the old days. They'll be killing somebody soon. You have something to divert them with, number one?
Aye, aye, sir. Our ships are in position. Oh, no. No. Commissioner de Forest, my good friend. Do not, I beseech you, do anything drastic. Be kind. Have mercy on these poor people.
It's too late for kindness now, Perrault. You may fire when ready, number one.
Aye, aye, sir. All right, fleet. On my count. 3, 2, 1. Now!
It's inhuman!
Where did you get that bone-chilling racket, number one?
Scientifically engineered to scramble the brain, sir.
This method for classifying rebellious methods. Shall I step up the desk, sir?
Well, I hate to interrupt a specialist when he's enjoying himself. As a matter of fact, I think the heathens are subdued. At least they're all lying on the ground, writhing in agony.
Pity.
This far! I thought we had the laws against the cruel and unusual punishment. This is hell! Hell!
It's a few thousand volts ahead of the old shoot 'em and sink 'em game, but I should scarcely call that.
You obviously have no taste in music.
Shall we go down and pick up the piece?
Capital idea, number one. But first, a spot of whiskey would not be amiss.
I'll make it that too. I need something to steady my nerves.
I can't see a thing. You have your remote controls handy, Perrault?
Si.
Give us some light from your ship like a good chap.
All right. Stay calm. We aren't beginning again.
Are you stupid? There's nothing to fuss for. Of course your ears will ring tomorrow. You look as if you and your wives had drunk too much. But in a little while, you will hear as well as before. I tell you this, and I am Perrault. Vitor Perrault.
Apparently your reputation precedes you, old boy.
Hey, yo, Perrault. Tell us. Was there anything except sound in those blasts just now?
What? You think a Perrault put poison gas in his stereo system? You stupid. Why are we going to kill you when you don't make enough babies as it is, huh?
It's over now. Is there anyone here I can talk business with? I'm DeForest for the board.
This can start with me. I'm the mayor.
It's approaching, Commissioner. What's the appropriate greeting for a pagan potentate in these parts?
Oh, leave it to me, number one. How?
Yeah. How you doing?
Us coming great bird. Answer help call. Quellum unrest.
Pleased to meet you.
Richie, is that you?
Excuse me. Hey, that sounds like my chief of police. Blue, hey, yo, over here.
Sure is. And I got Mulligan and Plotnik with me.
So drag him up here, huh?
Wait a minute. I gotta find my pinky ring.
Hey, this is luck, huh? Us four is in charge of this town. What we say goes. I'm his honor, Mayor Richard J. Daley V. And these is my colleagues. Police Commissioner Blutner, City Treasurer Milligan, and Streets and Sanitation Chairman Plotnik.
I'm Commissioner DeForest. This is my number one, Commander Arnott, and Signor Perrault, you I'm sure recognize.
So, DeForest, what do you got to say for yourself, huh?
Nothing, yet. You've cut out of system. What do you have to say for yourself?
I say, Prolo, be a good chap and send down drinks, please.
Hey, good idea, huh? Hey, make mine a scotch straight up.
Guinness for me and the boys here.
Signore, why not we all go inside of my airship where we can discuss in a private and in a comfort?
You got a full bar?
Of course.
Let's go then.
I like this. All the emanates. What's that tune you're playing, Vic?
Just a something to soothe the savage breast.
Keep playing, man. I don't talk with heathen.
Me neither.
Now, DeForest, I take it you're here so that the board can start direct administration of this here district.
Not if they could help it. The ABC is responsible for planetary traffic. Only.
And all that implies, huh?
Well, get on with it. What is your silly trouble anyway?
Too much damn democracy, if you ask me.
So? I thought Illinois had finished with all that.
She has. That's why. Hey, Blute. What did you do with the prisoners we took in last night, huh?
Locked them in the water tower for safekeeping.
Number one, send some of your people to fetch them along, will you?
Aye, aye, sir.
They're triple circuited. You have to blow out three fuses.
Hey, what's your first name, DeForest?
Ethelrod, why?
Look here, Ethel. I don't like putting no burdens on the ABC, you know what I mean? I'm a administrator myself, get me? I know what it's all about. But we've had this trouble, see, with our serviles.
Your what, sir?
We call them serviles. It's like this, okay? We got a few people in this town that like to hear themselves talk, you know what I mean? They live in apartments and hotels all year round. Why? Hey, you tell me. They say it saves them trouble. Well, I say to each his own, get me? You find screwballs like that in every town. Around here, we call them serviles. Why? Why not? Most of them is, tubercular.
That's right. Transportation is civilization. Democracy is disease.
The blue tier is kind of a one-idea man, get me? Anyway, these serviles talk and they talk and they talk. They make a business out of it. And when somebody makes a business out of talking, anything can happen. Yeah, right, Ethel.
Anything except an explanation of the problem, apparently.
Hey, I'll get to that, okay? Now, these servers start talking first in their homes and then on the streets, telling people how they should be living their lives. Now, that's invasion of privacy, sure, but us in Chicago, hey, we'll put up with anything sooner than make a crowd, you know what I mean? So I let them alone. Big mistake. As my great-great-grandfather used to avoid saying, mea culpa.
I warned you, Richie.
Yeah, you warned me, Blute.
I hate to say I told you so. But I told you so.
You sure did, Blute.
You should have listened to me, Richie.
I should have, but I didn't, Blute, much to my chagrin.
Chagrin is the word, Richie.
It sure is, Blute.
Transportation is civilization. Democracy is disease, Richie.
Pipe down, will you, Blute?
Is there a point lurking somewhere in the dark recesses and abysms of your tail, Mr. Mayor?
You can call me Your Honor, Ethel. My point is this. The serviles go from talking in the streets to calling a meeting right here in the old marketplace. Ain't nothing stopping them except human nature, which don't traffic crowds, you know what I mean? I should have known that meeting was going to brew trouble. But hey, what the hell? We haven't had a crowd or a murder in Chicago for 19 years.
22, Richie.
Shut up already, will you, Blute? Now, there had to be 1,000 people at that meeting in the marketplace touching each other, actually touching Ethel. And then the servers turned their mouths on full blast, so we...
What did they talk about?
Hey, you know, stuff like how bad me and the boys is manage a city. This we lied, because we was hoping to recruit some municipal workers. You know how tough it is to find executive capacity types, right, Ethel? And then, hey, even if nobody was going to step forward, we still thought it was, what's the word you use, Blute?
Refreshing.
Yeah, it was refreshing that somebody was paying attention enough to the work we was doing to notice how lousy it is. I got to tell you, it's awful to work year in and year out with nobody giving a damn about the job.
I know, dear boy, I know. There are times on the board when we'd give our positions if anyone would kick us out and take hold of things themselves.
They won't. I'll give you odds on that. The four of us guys has done things here just hoping that somebody would be interested that would have got Nero impeached. But you know what they say? They say, "That's okay, Richie, whatever. Anything's better than a crowd. I'll just go back to my little farm." What can you do with people like that?
Ain't an ass-kicker left on this planet. Pardon my French.
Anyway, as I was saying, our serviles hold this meeting, and pretty soon, we had a ground circuit the platform to save them from being killed.
And doing that didn't calm the crowd down, nothing either.
How do you mean?
It's like this, Ethel. If you ever been ground circuited, you know that it improves nobody's disposition to be held up straining against nothing. No, sir. 800, 900 people kept pawing and buzzing like flies in molasses.
Molasses?
Yes, treacle.
Oh.
The folks at this great district of Illinois owned themselves. They was thinking things had gone too far. Too far and too fiery. I warned them serviles. But unless a fact hits them square on the noggin, they can't see it. You know what I mean? They started up about popular government.
Strange idea. Harmless. An assembly of trees.
Popular. Popular, like democracy. Popular government.
Yes. Yeah. Go on.
Commissioner, this is English he speaks?
More or less.
The serviles actually want us to go back to the old way of voting and campaigning and newspapers. They said they are already doing this amongst themselves. Yes, sir, Ethel. I mean to tell you that they stood up behind Blute's Double Ground Circus, and they said that in this present year of grace, 2065 A.D., two self-owning men and women right there in front of the Picasso. Then they finished by jabbering about the people. And then Blutner, he had to sit up all night, see, in charge of the circus, because he couldn't trust his men to keep them shut. For the servile's own safety, you understand?
But I couldn't hold the crowd ground-circuited forever. So I locks up the serviles on charge of crowd-making, and I throws them in the water tower. And when I cut the circuits, all hell broke loose.
And let me tell you, though, here in Illinois, when it's a question of invasion of privacy, goodbye right and so long reason. So, I had Plotnick start paving over the marketplace whilst I put in a call to the board.
And now you guys is here and can take over.
Yeah, you know, take charge of the situation.
Take the bull by the cojones.
You talk as if executive capacity could be snatched out of the air like so much horsepower. Can't you manage yourself on any terms?
Well, I guess if you insist. Hey, but to start with, we're going to have to bump them off.
What means bump off?
Take for a ride. Dump in the lake with cement galoshes. Whack!
Terminate, execute, eliminate, bump off.
Bump who off?
Them, the servile!
Sir, we have the serviles in custody, but populace will not allow us to pass and bring them into the ship. This could get ugly.
Thank you, number one.
The crowd, she's angry with them.
What did you say?
The crowd, she is angry with them.
By George, you got it. Perolo, switch on the tannoy and give me the microphone. I say there, good citizens of Illinois, in your zeal, I fear you have failed to take cognizance of your strength of numbers. I dare say, if you take the trouble to look about you a moment, you may discover that you have become a crowd.
Good show, Commissioner.
Number one, get the name of whoever it was who shouted, "Define your terms."
Aye, aye, sir. What should we do with the serviles?
Take them below. Perolo, I take it there's a below. Below?
Say, Commissioner, a fully equipped fitness center.
Excellent. Go with Commander Arnott and show our caitiffs to their cell like a good fellow.
Come, Commander.
What are you going to do, Ethel?
Remove the source of irritation.
You're taking the serviles away?
Now, you're taking over, too, ain't you?
If you insist.
Hey, you making any special appointments?
None. We haven't meant to waste on these backwoods. You carry on as before, but under the board. Well, I want my breakfast, and I expect you do, too. Goodbye, Your Honor. Delighted to see you at any time, but I hope I shan't have to officially for the next 30 years.
Ethel, it's been real.
You're under the tyrannous heel of the ABC from this moment. But if ever you feel like breaking your fetters, you've only to let us know. This is no treat to us. Good luck.
Gentlemen, may I fill your glass with this excellent Dom Perignon?
At this hour of the morning?
After a sleepless night.
Excuse me. You English are so admirably moderate.
Just so. Until tea time, we'll stick to bourbon. Cheers.
To our victory in Chicago.
They are wild people, these Illinoisans. No. Had we not intervened, they would have littered the marketplace with the dead bodies of their serviles.
I've never seen a corpse, have you?
The very idea of one makes me cringy.
Well, we're a nice lot to flap about governing the planet. I confess, now it's all over, that my main fear was I mightn't be able to pull it off without losing a life.
I thought of that, too. Dreadful prospect. We got them out in the nick of time. But now that we have them, what do we do with them?
Feed them, I fancy.
What do they eat?
I believe they're cannibals. I overheard one of them speak about dining on the ribs of some poor chap named Leon.
And there are such people left in the world.
Well, this should just have to do with bangers and mash.
And then what? We can't just dump them out on the ocean.
Well, we're between two switches. If we drop them in any place that isn't under the board, the natives will make their presence an excuse for cutting out, same as Illinois did, and forcing the board to take over. Now, if we drop them in any place under the board's control, they'll be killed as soon as our backs are turned.
Try London. You could turn Satan himself loose there, and they'd only ask him to dinner.
Good man. Give me an idea. Get me the office of Leopold Vincent in Earl's Court. This should do the trick.
Vincent Amusement Desires Limited. Sammy the Secretary speaking.
Mr. Vincent, please.
Who's calling?
Ethel Roger Forrest, QV of the ABC.
Commissioner, how good to hear from you. Pardon my disguise, but I'm avoiding creditors today. Back from your perilous journey, are you? Will I see you soon at Babylonland?
No surprise inspections totally in the line of duty are scheduled, Vincent. And I am not back yet, but returning. Now, in Chicago, we've picked up something in your line.
Oh, that's good, dear man. If it's old enough, there's nothing to beat the old things for business purposes. Have you seen me new London Chatham and Dover? I've had the real steam locomotive engines built from the old designs and the iron rails cast especially by hand. Cloth cushions in the carriages, too. Immense. And paper railway tickets.
Where did he get paper in this day and age?
And Polly Milton.
Polly Milton back again? Book me two stalls for tomorrow night. What's she singing there, bless
her? Oh, the old songs. Nothing comes up to the old touch. Listen to this, dear man. Oh, cruel lambs of London. If tears your lights could drown, your victims' eyes would weep them. Oh, lights of London town, and then they weep.
You see, the old world always weeped when it saw crowds together. It did not know why, but it weeped. We know why, but we do not weep. Except when we pay to be made to by fat, wicked old Vincent.
Hold yourself. I'm a public benefactor. I keep the world soft and united.
And I am DeForest of the board, trying to get a little business done. As I was saying, I picked up a few people in Chicago. They're perfectly unique.
Do they build houses and bake mud blocks while you wait, eh? That's an old contact.
They're an untouched, primitive community with all the old ideas.
Sewing machines and my pole dancers, cooking on gas stoves, lighting pipes with matches, and driving horses. Gerald Stein tried that last year, and an absolute blowout.
No, do plug that hole in your face and listen. These people are agitators, Democrats, crowd collectors. They do everything by majority vote. They make incendiary speeches at the drop of a hat, debate every little thing. Philosophize about the ship of state until it sinks.
In public?
Well, where else? You can't stop them. The more public, the better they're pleased. They'll talk for hours, like you.
Do you really mean they know how to vote? Can they act it?
Act? It's their life to them. You never saw such faces. Scarred like volcanoes. Envy, hatred, and malice in plain sight. Wonderfully flexible voices. Oh, they weep, too.
Aloud? In public.
I guarantee. Not a spark of shame in the entire installation. It's the chance of your career.
Do you say you brought the voting props along? Them papers and ballot box thingies?
No, confound you. I'm not a luggage lifter. Apply direct to the mayor of Chicago. He'll forward you everything. Well?
Wait a minute. Did Chicago want to kill him? That'd look well on the advertising.
Yes, they were only rescued with difficulty from a howling mob, if you know what that is.
But I don't.
Well, then they'll tell you themselves. They can make speeches hours long.
How many are there?
Oh, perhaps 100, counting children. An old world in miniature. Can't you see it?
Yes, but I've got to pay for it if it's a blowout, dear man.
They can sing the old war songs in the streets. They can get word drunk and make crowds and invade privacy in the genuine old-fashioned way. And they'll do the voting trick as often as you ask them a question.
Sounds too good to be true.
I got them all aboard here. I'll put you through direct. Sample them yourself.
Oh, go ahead, dear man.
Serviles of Chicago, can you hear me?
Who's there?
The loudspeaker.
We hear you, you imperialist dog.
Serviles, we are serviles to no one.
Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly.
Let us out of this hellhole immediately. Book burner,
we know our rights.
Yes, yes, all that's well and good, but I have on the line with me a gentleman from London who wants to hear your grievances.
Your spokesman, any volunteers?
I volunteer.
So do I, me
let's,
too.
Let's vote on it. All those in favor of...
Secret ballot. We must have a secret ballot.
We don't need a secret ballot.
I insist on a secret ballot.
I say it's a waste of time.
Well, let's vote on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Vote.
All right, all those in favor of a secret ballot. Wait a minute. We should have a secret ballot for the vote on the secret ballot.
Good people. Good people. Any one of you can answer. Are you enjoying your trip? Are you being treated well?
They've sank us from the bosom of our families.
We've been kidnapped. This is nothing less than kidnapping.
They've stripped us of all our possessions, made us leave hearth and home.
They feed us on gruel and don't even give us finger bowls.
We're locked up in a foul dungeon.
But look here. They're saying what isn't true. The lower deck is spotlessly clean.
And I saw to the finger bowls myself.
What can you do with people who don't tell the facts?
Well, they used to be elected to high office.
Oh, it is such a little time since all the planet told the lies. My. How dreadful for you, dear people. Let me ask you something. Would you repeat your assertions in public before a vast public?
Give us a chance and the world will ring with that wrong.
Yeah!
Well put.
Our only ambition is reform, to show the planet Earth the error of its ways.
Coincidentally, good people, that is exactly me own aim in life, too. Me life's dream, you could say. And what loft your ambition can one aspire to, I ask you. What if all was to say that I can offer you a forum where you can explain all your ideals to your heart's content, whereby your living example, you can guide the deluded souls of the human race toward a loftier existence. Think of it, good people. The moral uplift of a simple old-world life presented in its entirety to a debauched civilization. Could you, would you, for a guaranteed run of 3 months and an option to renew, devote yourselves under my auspices as missionaries to the elevation of mankind at a place called El Courts, one of the major intellectual centers of the world?
What an opportunity.
A lot to think about.
To save the world. To show them condominium living in its purest form.
I'm going to cry. I can't help it. I'm so moved.
This is a momentous step.
We need to take a vote.
If we're going to vote, we first have to vote on a secret versus open ballot. We ought to discuss the issues first, shouldn't we? I mean, do this by Robert's rules.
Vote.
Debate. Let's vote on whether we should vote or discuss first. All those in favor. Now, shouldn't we discuss the issue of discussion before voting on it?
Well, Vincent, was I right? Did I exaggerate?
Oh, bless you, dear man. You're on my free list forever. Anywhere. All of you. Oh, Gerolstein will be sick, sick, sick.
And you think they'll do?
I do. The little village will go crazy. I'll knock up a series of old world plays for them. Hatchet Brom, Clifford Odets, Henry Winkler. Or am I thinking of Arnold Wexler? Their voices will make you laugh and cry. I'll have a pageant of the world's beginnings. And Mosin Fall shall do the music.
Yes, you go and knock up a village for them by tonight. We'll meet you at number 15, West Landing Tower.
Oh, you don't know how hard it is nowadays, even for me, to find something that really gets under the public's damned iridium-plated hide. But I've got it at last! At last! At last!
Ah, well, gentlemen, I think a little sherry by way of celebration. Order has been restored to Chicago, and its liberal malcontents shall enjoy happy dissatisfaction where they belong, on exhibit as a curiosity.
Another case successfully resolved by the Aeronautical Board.
One thing I have never understood.
What's that, Prowl, old man?
How did it come about that an institution for aeronautics came to rule the world?
Oh, it was bound to happen. Inevitable. Could have been foreseen at the very advent of manned flight.
You think so?
Most definitely. After all, your aviator has always been a superior sort of chap. Von Richthofen, Lindbergh, Billy Mitchell, Glenn, Gagarin, and Solo. Born leaders, decisive, intelligent, dashing, courageous, virile, all that sort of thing.
Quite so!
But nobody seems to care. No one even notices. We live in an age of indifference, yet the responsibility for the whole biosphere, she rests on our shoulders.
Well, there are damned few perquisites, if that's what you mean, old boy. Nonetheless, we aeronauts of the Aeronautical Board have our duty. It is simply the flight man's burden.
This is Beyond 2000, and you have been listening to As Easy as ABC, based on a story by Rudyard Kipling. In the cast, you heard Tony Jay as DeForest, Ira Burton as Vincent, Artie Johnson as Parolo, Brian Finney as Arnott, Joe Greco as the Mayor, and J.J. Johnston as Blute with Laura Kellogg.